providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back, continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed those two segments I spent with Peter Buchvar. Peter is a wealth of information and a person I get to spend a lot of time with down at that New Orleans Investment Conference. Another guest who I have a lot of respect for, who's actually still relatively new to the show, just came on as a more regular guest in about the middle of last year, is Mike Larson. You can follow Mike on Twitter at his handle, at RealMikeLarson. I will post that within this weekend show posting. He also writes the Safe Money Report over at Weiss Ratings. And Mike, one thing that we have to talk about here is the U.S. equity markets, and the overall concept that I have heard from a number of people is that this recent rally in the markets could very much be over. This, if you look at the chart, just speaks to more bear market behavior because of the fact of this downtrend and this downward channel that the markets remain in. Can you address this first?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've been talking for a while, and I've kind of been on the cautious bearish side of the fence since, let's call it March or April of last year, 2018. And, you know, everything I've seen sort of from a technical standpoint and fundamental standpoint has continued to kind of reinforce that thesis as opposed to refute it. And, you know, it's interesting that you talk about what's happened in the last few weeks. I mean, obviously, the markets fell very sharply in December. You had the worst month for the Dow and the S&P 500 since 1931. Full year 2018 was the worst for the S&P since 2008 in terms of percentage declines. Obviously, that was, you know, there's a lot more turmoil then than now, but in terms of the final, you know, year-end results. But then starting the day after Christmas and continuing through, you know, through early January, we saw pretty sharp rallies, and like 2,200 points on the Dow off the lows. What's interesting is you get these moves, and these are the kinds of things that are extremely sharp, extremely short-term, and over time are extremely vulnerable to being retraced. And that's part and parcel of bear markets. I mean, I've been following the markets closely since the mid-1990s. And it's interesting that I see a lot of similarities to what's happening in the last several months to what happened at the start of the bear markets in 2000 to 2002, and again in 2007 to 2009. You know, you look at, again, sharp declines followed by sharp snapback rallies that don't get you back to the highs, that do start to, you know, make people think, hey, maybe the worst is over. That's typical bear market behavior. It's funny, there's somebody else I follow on Twitter, at Odd Stats, which always has, as the name suggests, has a lot of odd financial stats and market stats as well. And they did a great breakdown that looked at every single time the S&P 500, going back to the 1920s, had a 20% decline and then had a bear market rally, and sort of said, okay, how long do those bounces last? How many days? How far did they go? And then what ultimately happened after that sort of ran out of gas? And the funny thing is, out of all 12 of these instances, you know, the sharpness of those rallies was pretty significant, anywhere from 3, 4, 5% on up to 15, you know, or 14 or 15%. But what happened in almost every instance, besides one or two, is that, you know, within, let's call it a week, a few weeks, as long as maybe a month and a half, the markets were rolling over again, and after they did that, the ultimate declines from high to low got pretty severe. I mean, you had, you know, in the bear market of 2000 to 2002, the S&P 500 lost 50% from high to low. In the bear market of, you know, 07 to 09, the S&P lost 57%. Other bear markets that you know, came earlier in the 80s and 70s and so on, and the ultimate declines weren't that bad, but you're still talking about 30, 40, you know, almost 50% losses in some case. So, again, history kind of tells you, and if you've been in the market, sort of intuition should kind of tell you that what's happened here, it doesn't really change the big picture. It gives you, you know, a nice opportunity that if you're still holding a lot of longs, if you didn't get out when I was, you know, when me and other analysts were maybe saying, hey, this bull market's over many, many months ago, now you got another chance. You get out at better prices, you lower your equity exposure, or if you're more aggressive and you're comfortable with those kinds of investments, you can look into things like inverse ETFs or put options or LEAPS put options that make money when stocks, targeted stocks or sectors or indexes go down. I think that that's how you have to sort of flip the mentality. You know, in the bull market, whenever markets fell, you bought the dip and they ultimately headed higher. Now, in a bear market environment, you got to kind of, you know, change your thinking and say you get a rally. You're not, or, you know, when the market sells off, you want to take profits on short positions to sort of get out of the way. Wait for the market to rally, and then that's when you reinitiate them. It's, again, it's sort of like selling the rally versus buying the dips.
Yeah, that's something that you and I chatted about, I think, a couple months ago as well, is how that mentality had changed and how investors need to get on board with that. Can we talk about, though, that strategy that you were talking about? If you are holding some long positions, not the worst time to probably clear out of some of those positions after these rallies. But in terms of those investors that maybe don't want to play the short side, whether it's because they don't believe in playing the short side or, you know what, they got burned the last 4, 5, 8 years for that matter, trying to play the short side. There are other sectors where they can put some money to work and you think could actually present some good returns?
You know, I think there's two ways to look at it. And I guess it depends on how aggressive or how, you know, whether you're a trader or an investor. If you're an investor who's looking at your intermediate to long-term time frames and holdings, I think there's still a handful, you know, a small number of stocks in conservative sectors, the same types of sectors I've been talking about for, you know, a year now. Things like utilities, things like consumer staples, high dividend yielding, lower volatility, higher Weiss rated stocks that are in conservative sectors that still have some potential. That's, I think, you know, for your, the stuff for your longer term money, these are the kinds of stocks that are likely to lose less in down moves in this bear market and gain more in up moves. And in some cases, hopefully, I think if you find the right stock, you're going to generate absolute returns. So it's not just lose less money, it's actually make money, especially from the dividend yield side of things. So there's a few names like a Clorox, for example, or a One Gas, you know, CLX and OGS. Those are two stocks that we've owned in the Safe Money Report for some time now that are holding up better, that are delivering some yield, giving you more stability and so on, and things that I still like. On the other side, if you look at what is going to get, in my opinion, destroyed in this bear market, it's going to be the same kind of stuff that got radically overvalued. I mean, you look at some of these semiconductor names, some of these, you know, red hot, so to speak, tech names, some of them are down 40, 50% from their highs, but I don't think that's over, especially for some of the names that haven't gone down that much. At the same time, when you get these deeply oversold markets and then you have sharp rallies like we just had, those are the kind of names that until people get it, you know, beat into their heads that this is a stupid way to invest, those are the kinds of names that are going to have very sharp rallies. I mean, Netflix, I think, recently was up like 25, 30% in a week and a half or 2 weeks during this bear market rally. So if you're a trader, if you're an aggressive trader, you wait for the market to get deeply oversold, you buy some of these stocks that ultimately are headed a lot lower, but that can, in the short term, generate some very big gains. Again, it comes down to what kind of investor you are. If you want to trade this market, buy the junkier stuff when the market's deeply oversold and flip it. If you're an investor who's looking for patient, longer term, sensible type investments that I think hold up, that's where you go to your consumer staples, your utilities, and the other defensive type names.
So regarding some of these defensive names, what about some of these so-called safe haven bets, as in precious metals or treasuries or even emerging markets if we do start to see the U.S. dollar fall?
Sure. Again, I think that, you know, it's hard to recommend very long-term bonds. You know, our country, I think, has plenty of debt and deficit issues. But I mean, you know, that's from an investment standpoint. From a short to intermediate term, I think the bond market is going to rally when the stock market goes down. From a tactical standpoint, I've had a couple of recommendations in our service that actually make money from rising bond prices, and that's gone okay for us. In terms of gold, you and I have talked about this before. I'm not a gold bug by nature, but I certainly have really liked it at times, really hated it at times, and sometimes been indifferent. I'd put it in the really like it category now, and I have for, you know, the last few months. I think technically the picture has been improving. I think gold and volatility have a lot in common. They're both, you know, sort of buying volatility, buying gold as a chaos insurance play. I think that's one of the reasons the metal's been firming up recently, even when the dollar was on its way higher, the U.S. dollar was on its way up. And I don't think that dynamic is going to change. I think gold and gold miners in an environment of rising volatility, rising risk, you know, a need for insurance on the, you know, among investors. I think those are the kinds of environments that are going to be pretty positive for gold. So I still like the metal here.
All right, Mike, always great having you on the show. Again, follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. It's important to understand what somebody like Mike is looking at in terms of investments. He was never truly sucked into some of these high-flying stocks, and we were talking months ago about the weakness in terms of the markets, both internally and on price stability. And what we have seen is a very much start of what looks like it could be a bear market, but remember those time frames. It can take a couple years for these bear markets to play out. So as much as some people might want it to happen quickly, it is an overall process. Mike, great chatting with you. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back to wrap up the show with Jeffrey Christian.
Thank you. Take care.